Blog Talk Radio.
Politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom.
Hey, and welcome again to another show. You are now on The Conspiracy Reality. I'm your host, Tony Smith, and this is episode 5, and today's show is the Florida school shooting and the gun control debate. And the reason why we're dealing with the gun control debate as well as the Florida school shooting is because the gun control debate came out of the Florida school shooting. So that's why we're going to deal with it. Now, me being from Indiana, Indiana does not bode well with change as far as, because this is an open carry state, and they will have no changing of that fact. And being a part of the state and from the state, I mean, I agree, because you should not, there shouldn't be a ban on anything based on a situation that happened. And to even deal with the banning, let's deal with the school shooting, okay? And you guys have already, you know, I'm sure you know about it, heard about it, or what have you, so I don't have to go over what it, you know, what happened. But I just want you to take a listen to this article. This is on allnewspipeline.com, and the headline is, the 1991 book warned us secret government would use school shootings to disarm Americans. Was Florida school shooter MK Ultra. Okay, and then it goes on. All the way back in 1991, former U.S. Naval Intelligence briefing team member Milton William Cooper wrote a book titled Behold, a Pale Horse Within, which he reveals a wealth of great information long hidden from the public eye, some dating all the way back to the 1940s. Elaborating upon the assassination of John F. Kennedy, UFOs, and the secret government, on page 225 of his book, Cooper dropped the following bombshell paragraph that should be looked at much more deeply in light of what recently happened in Florida. The government encouraged the manufacture and importation of military firearms for the criminals to use. This is intended to foster a feeling of insecurity, which would lead the American people to voluntarily disarm themselves by passing laws against firearms, using drugs and hypnosis on mental patients in a process called ORION, O-R-I-O-N. The CIA inculcated the desire in these people to open fire on schoolyards and thus inflame the anti-gun lobby. This plan is well underway and so far is working perfectly. The middle class is begging the government to do away with the Second Amendment. With the secret government that Cooper warned of long ago now confirmed, it's time to take another look at the shocking paragraph, particularly in light of new revelations coming out about the event in Florida, which ANP and other independent news websites have warned was likely coming as the globalists seek to continue the takedown of America. And the book, here's the, and it's it is a screenshot of the book itself. So it says, the government encouraged the manufacture and importation of military firearms for the criminals to use. This is intended to foster a feeling of insecurity, which would lead the American people to voluntarily disarm themselves by passing laws against firearms, using drugs and hypnosis on mental patients in a process called ORION. The CIA inculcated the desire in these people to open fire in schoolyards and thus inflame the anti-gun lobby. This plan is well underway and so far is working perfectly. The middle class is begging the government to do away with the Second Amendment. So that's what's going on. And while most mainstream media would happily call MK Ultra a conspiracy theory, despite the fact that the United States Senate hearing from August 3rd of 1977 documents Project MK Ultra, the CIA's program of research and behavioral modification, as you can see for yourself in the squibbed document from, where's the document? Oh, it's in the New York Post, dated back July 23rd, 2016. So you can go even as close to that to get this information. And then it says, before you go and discount the possibility of school shooters being programmed. And then another thing that should be pointed out as well is that the kid himself even said that he should be a professional school shooter. What the hell is a professional school shooter? Someone told him that, a professional school shooter. Professional? Somebody's talking to that boy. As all of these people who were school shooters had mental issues, and the mental facilities across the United States was closed down in the early 90s is when all that started happening. So, and also another statistic, if you look, all these shootings happen on gun-free zones. Now, I will be, which on Facebook and on Twitter, I'm already being told that I'm a right-winger and all of this, but they put this information or put this ideology or put this issue on the right because they know that the majority of the people from the propaganda has said that the right-wingers are nut jobs or what have you. It's good cop versus bad cop is what the duopoly is playing with you. This is why we should leave the duopoly and go green. Now, people would say, well, how can you be a Green Party member and not want gun control? Because I live in Indiana. And if you're going to be a Green Party, have a Green Party in Indiana, your position better be no gun control. And if your position is not no gun control, you're not going to have a Green Party here, period, point blank. Now, I personally don't believe in gun control myself. Does that make me a right winger? No. On that issue, the two issues that separate the duopoly is gun control and abortion. And on both of those issues, I am what you would call, I guess, a right winger, because I don't believe in abortion, but I do believe that a woman has the right to choose and should have health care available for an abortion if she so chooses so. She should get advice from her parents or whoever. It should be a local thing, and it should be state to state as far as abortion is concerned and as far as gun control is concerned. Both issues should be state issues. But my personal view on both issues, on the gun control issue, is that there should be no gun control in a free society. And my view on abortion is I don't think abortion should be done, but there should be applicable health care, because I also believe we should have universal health care. So your health care should cover your abortion, and abortions also should be available if the woman so chooses. If she says, hey, I just can't deal with the fact of me having a kid and giving it up for adoption, I would rather abort the child, then that's her choice in a free society. As far as gun control, there shouldn't be any gun control. What there should be is gun education. And everybody should be educated on guns as if, just as if you were educated on civics, that has been taken out of the schools. So there should be gun education, not gun control. Because gun control in a free society takes away your rights. And it's just simple math. But a lot of lefties, and these mostly are neoliberals, think gun control is the only solution. And if you don't believe in gun control, oh, you're stupid. But what we just read is that they are using these shootings so they can disarm us. So it starts out with banning assault rifles, then it's going to be ban all rifles, and then it's going to be ban handguns, and then we're going to be disarmed and subject to the government. And as simple as that. Now, you can try to identity politic me all day long. It ain't going to work because the facts are the facts. Your feelings doesn't matter in a civil situation. It's about what the reality is. The narratives you build for yourselves are based in a bubble that you yourself only live in. You don't have any thoughts about the next person. When you can see that you don't need the right to have guns, you are saying nobody needs the right, because when one person concedes a right, the entire country suffers. Now, I want you guys to listen to this clip. Now, this is a clip about the school shooting, Rachel Madcow, and this is about the school shootings. Now, it's going to talk about that these were drills that they had before, which the Secret Service was supposedly running these drills. So let's listen to this clip. This is Rachel Madcow from More Shit, Nothing But Crap. That's what I call MSNBC. But here's Rachel Madcow. Let's listen. One second. I got to pull it up for you guys. Just bear with me. It's when I upload these clips, they don't upload all the way because I have this issue with Blog Talk, but I'm getting everything back in order with them. They're starting to respond. Whatever you guys are doing is awesome. I appreciate it. But here's the clip. This is Rachel Madcow, and this is the school shooting, and it's talking about the drills. Let's listen.
Teacher, it's Marjorie Stoneham Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. Teacher, whose story today I just in part described. Ms. Kowski, thank you very much for being here today. I'm so sorry for what you went through today. Can you just describe what happened? I know you were teaching class at the time of the shooting. I know it was toward the end of the school day. Can you just walk through what happened for you and your students?
The day was, winding down. We had about 10 minutes left, and in the last third of the day, I teach newspaper, so I was working with the kids who were making the school newspaper, and the fire alarm went off for a second time today, and so, we followed the protocol, which is to evacuate. I grabbed my emergency folder and we started to file out the door. And then, we made it to the stairwell, and one of the security people that's posted near in my building said, "No, go back. It's a code red." So, I immediately called to the kids, the other teachers who were there. They called to the kids to turn around and come back. And so, I went back to my room. I unlocked the door. I let the kids in. Most of the students who were in my class at the time managed to make it back to me. Some of them ended up in another classroom because it was closer. And then, we just sort of, the teachers who were in the hallway were opening up their doors and yelling to all the kids who were in the hallway to get inside, to get into the nearest door, to take cover. And so after about a minute or a minute and a half, then we all closed up our doors, and followed the procedures that we had been taught, which was to disappear, basically, is what they taught us, to move out of sight and to be silent and quiet. And after, initially I thought it was just a drill, because we had been told we would have an active shooter drill this semester, that it would be unannounced. But then as we started to get texts and more information, I realized that it was, in fact, actually really happening to us. It was, so hard to comprehend. And so then I made the decision to move the kids into the closet.
How many kids were in the class? How big was the closet? How long did you end up staying in there?
I had 19 kids with me in the closet. It's a we were standing, you know, two by two, you know, in the closet. It was tight, and we were in there for about 30 or 35 minutes. You know, we were getting texts and information that they were still looking, you know, for the shooter. And so, you know, I told the kids we were just gonna, you know, stay put until the, you know, until the, either we heard an announcement or the SWAT team came together.
And what eventually happened? How did you know when it was safe to come out?
We heard noises and movement outside the door, and so, you know, we got really quiet and we just waited, and we heard someone enter the door, and we heard noises in the classroom, and we just sort of waited there, and then someone called out, you know, this is the police, is there anyone in here? And, you know, we had been trained that if someone entered with a key, then, you know, that would be somebody who was okay to be there, so we sort of slowly opened up the closet door and peeked out and said, we're in here, and then they had us file out, you know, one at a time, like with our hands up so they could, you know, check us, and then they started moving through the hallway and checking all the classrooms.
You're describing so calmly your realization and your of that this wasn't a drill, and your decision-making about how to keep your kids safe and how to come out of that hiding place and everything. How were you able to stay calm in that moment? What was the fear level, the upset level among your 19 students?
The kids were really scared. You know, some of them were crying. Some of them held it together really well. You know, on a personal level, it was really hard for me. My mom called me, you know, in the middle of all this, and I had to hang up with her because I was starting to get, you know, like upset, and I needed to be there, you know, for the kids and to tell them it was going to be okay. And it doesn't help if I'm sitting there crying too. So, you know, I just kept telling them that it was going to be okay, and they were okay, and everything was going to be okay, and you know, that helped, I guess, you know, for them to get through it.
You guys had your phones with you, you and presumably the students as well. You described receiving text messages as part of how you knew that this wasn't a drill, that this was a real life situation. What kind of information were you guys getting while you were locked in that closet together in those tight quarters? Were you able to follow anything that seemed like real information to you in terms of what kind of risk you were at or how the situation might be unfolding?
Okay, so right there, you know, it was saying that they had school shooting drills and that sort of thing, and there were two times that the fire alarm was pulled. The whole thing is fishy. Now, those the drills. So they said they were having drills, and they were supposed to have them in the semester. She said they were taught, so they've had drills in the past in this regard. Now, here is the another account. Now, this is the local news reporting this, and it talks about a chick who her name's Alexa Mednick, and she walked with the shooter in the school during the situation. And this is the local news reporting this. So let's take a listen.
We just spoke with a former student, Alexa Mednick. She actually walked down the hall with the accused shooter, Nick. We just spoke with a former student, Alexa Mednick. She actually walked down the hall with the accused shooter, Nicholas Cruz, after she heard shots fired. She said, hey, Nicholas, this is what she told me on camera. We will have it for our 10 o'clock show. She said, hey, I just heard shots fired. I'm surprised it wasn't you. Just kidding like that. He had this reaction, what? And then they parted ways. She said, I heard more shots after that. She thinks there was a second shooter.
There was obviously definitely another shooter involved, but...
Oh, you think he was not the only one?
No, definitely not.
Why do you say that?
Because when shots were fired, I saw him after the fact. So, and the shots were coming from the other part of the building. So there definitely had to be two shooters involved, I believe.
So this chick said that there definitely had to be two shooters involved. And this is from the local news. The local news was reporting this. Okay? So this isn't because it came out with Alex Jones, too. Alex Jones reported this stuff, too. So, you know, everybody's like, oh, that's Alex Jones and his conspiracy theories with these school shootings. But this comes from the local news that was there that happened to be talking to a girl who, you know, said that she was walking with the shooter as the situation was unfolding. Now, they had drills that semester. She said they were taught these certain drills and how... And even Rachel Madcow said, you know, I'm so surprised that you're so calm in light of the situation. Well, I followed the protocols that we were taught. So does that not ring an alarm in your mind that this could be a possible false flag, and not false flag in the sense that nobody died, false flag in the sense that this was premeditated. And not from the student. This was an outside force using this for political gain. That's what this situation is. That's what most of all of these school shootings are. And we just read it in the book of 1991 book William Cooper wrote. You got to put everything together. Now, I want you guys to check this out. This is, okay, it's a book that was written by Stephen P. Halbrook, and it's called Gun Control in the Third Reich. And in this book, it talks about how Hitler and the Third Reich, which was his government, how they used gun control to disarm the German citizens before they became a full-blown dictatorship and started killing the Jews. They started with disarming the Jews first, and then what they all deemed would be the enemies of the state until the entire population was disarmed. So you guys should read that book, because it's very, very interesting. And it's pretty much the same thing, except that they used the Hitler Youth to push for gun control in Germany. The Hitler Youth who were for Hitler were telling the teachers, and it was coming through the schools. It wasn't school shootings. It was coming through the schools and in the universities in Germany to have gun control because of the dirty Jews who run everything. So they wanted to gun control the Jews, then they gun controlled the Jews, and then from the gun control of the Jews, they had to gun control the Jew sympathizers. So they had took the guns from the Jew sympathizers until the entire country was disarmed, as they have are starting World War II. So the left, and I'm talking about the neoliberal left, the neoliberals who are on the left, who are making true lefties look like fascists, because that's what they are. These neoliberals are fascists, and they're using left politics to push their fascists, because you could push fascism either on the right or the left. It doesn't matter. Fascism works because it's corporatism. It is the state ran by the corporations with a dictator who runs the show. The dictator is the CEO of the corporate-controlled oligarchic system. That's what it is, and that's what we're in right now. So, but I just want you to read that, and read, if you can, read this book. And they have PDF files available online. But it's a really good book, man. It opened my eyes because I was a gun control person at one point. But then when I read this, I was like, no, not. Sorry. Because I was going to try to change the minds of the people of Indiana that we should have gun control and not open carry in Indiana. But I've since changed my thoughts on that. That's why I'm doing this show, just to give you guys another perspective on the left, because I believe in universal health care, universal child care, as well as universal education. I believe in all of those attributes. I believe we need a Green New Deal in order to get 25 million jobs and to get us off of foreign get us off of fossil fuels and get rid of the fossil fuel industry and bring in the renewable energy industries and innovations so that we could save the planet. So I believe in those things, but on this gun control issue, I do not believe that being on the left or right that you should be subdued to give up your rights to have guns. Now, Jill Stein, I'm going to try to get her last, but I'm going to do read you an article on Jill Stein's stance, and the Green Party also has a stance, which is they believe in a form of gun control. But I don't believe in that stance, you know. But I'm still a Green Party member, and I still believe in Green Party values. If that particular issue is one issue that I disagree with my brothers and sisters on. And that happens. Now, should I be ostracized as a right-winger? No. But will people try to do that? Yes. But I know I'm right on this subject. So you can say what you will. You disarm a population, that population ceases to be free. The only thing between an individual and their government taking complete control is your gun. Period. So let's listen to what happened to UK when the UK or the United Kingdom's guns were banned. And then I'll try to get Jill Stein's stance on it before we go ahead and close the show out. But let's listen.
Hey, we've had enough. Our way of life is threatened.
And things these days are getting too out of hand because the government's telling us what we can and what we can't do.
Leave us. Leave us to choose our own rights.
I'm worried that I might not be able to go shooting with my dad.
Our livelihood, our way of life, employment, we're finished. It's as serious as that.
This is what a disarmed country looks like. This is how little is left once free men and women surrendered their right to own a firearm. The silence was deafening, marching like a defeated people, thousands of shooters and sportsmen, grabbing at one last chance to resist, fighting for a freedom they had already lost.
I'm not doing it for shooting. I'm doing it for freedom. I don't care if I never fire another shot, but I'm damned if I'm going to let my government make the decision for me.
My father once said to me that the day you hand your guns in, that means that the country's no good to live in anymore.
No one really thought that they would take your rabbit guns and your duck guns. That just couldn't happen. It was an impossibility.
We thought no one would ever do anything to us. We were wrong.
Too bloody late now. Once the guns are gone, you're not going to get them back.
Giving into government by giving up their firearms. Gun owners were shamed into silence while politicians and the anti-gun forces moved swiftly, turning two tragic shootings into legislative opportunities.
It becomes quite clear that if you want a safer society with lower gun violence, then you've got to reduce your gun ownership.
In Great Britain, a total ban on handguns. Within a year, storage rooms at police departments were filled with firearms. No matter how valuable or how rare, They were turned in by law-abiding citizens to be destroyed.
The main thing that's been destroyed in the UK is democracy. We've had a vociferous minority hoodwink the media and the public into believing what they've done is right.
We've basically accepted that our government possibly have a point to make. And I think that we should have told them very clearly that they do not.
There's the old saying, if the good men stay silent, only the evil is heard. And the good men, we sat at home, all 60,000 of us, and we were silent. A very bad mistake.
In Australia, it took just 2 weeks for an outright ban on all semi-automatic firearms and pump-action shotguns to become law.
We're supposed to be in a democratic country here in Australia, but I'm starting to wonder about that now. How dare the government take away my gun? How dare they do that? Because I haven't done anything wrong.
On May the 9th, I was allowed to own firearms. On May the 10th, I was a criminal if I didn't hand them in. And what did I do?
Just because I happen to be a firearms owner, I happen to be some sort of potential murderer or some sort of monster. And that's just not the case.
It's the feeling of being a second-rate citizen. It's the feeling of being a Jew in Nazi Germany. That's the same feeling.
Okay, and then he said a Jew in Nazi Germany. Why did he say a Jew in Nazi Germany? Because that's who was disarmed first in Nazi Germany. So, brothers and sisters, there is nothing good about banning guns in this country. We're one of the last countries who have a citizenry who have guns. And the reason why we have them is to protect ourselves from enemies, foreign and domestic. We have that right. We have that responsibility. So let me do one more thing. I'm going to get Jill Stein's stance on it, and then I'll go ahead and end the show. Okay, her stance on it is Dr. Jill Stein, who ran for president on the Green Party ticket, believes in tight gun control. This probably does not come as a major surprise, seeing as how, although the Green Party is a third party, its stance are considered to be more aligned with the Democrat establishment rather than the Republican Party. But the Republican and Democrat establishments are the duopoly party. So she's focused on power plan. The plan does not specifically mention gun control, but the Green Party promotes nonviolence since it began in 1984, which is what I agree with. So that does not include anything to do with gun control. Nonviolence is you saying yourself, I am not going to be violent. That has nothing to do with taking away guns. She says in a tweet, Jill Stein, Australia hasn't had a mass shooting since 95. U.S. has had 164 this year. This was on June 13, 2016. Time to get serious about getting weapons of war off our streets. Well, first of all, we have to get rid of the people who started the sale of these weapons of war. We got to get rid of the oligarchs before we get rid of our guns, Dr. Stein. That's my view. Stein openly shared her pro-gun control belief. She's often called for much tighter restrictions on gun sales, including background checks, tighter local regulation on gun sales, a ban on assault rifles in the United States. Stein also addresses gun control. She also brings up mental health. She believes mental health and gun control should go hand in hand. Says she wants to ensure that people with mental health issues have access to care but are prevented from buying guns. The LGBTIQ Americans are 2.1% of the population but are the target in 17.4% of the violent hate crimes. We stand with you against hate. This is another one of her tweets. So basically Jill Stein believes in tight
gun control regulations, which I disagree with her in that regard. She's from a liberal state of Massachusetts. I'm from a conservative state of Indiana. So we're going to disagree in that regard, although I do agree with her view that the mental health issue in this country should be addressed, and it should be addressed through giving them the care that they need through single-payer Medicare for All health care system. That's what needs to be done in this country to deal with the mental health crisis. But as far as guns, that should have nothing to do with mental health, and there shouldn't be any regulation on it but a background check. You should get a background check just so there is a paper trail, so if you happen to do commit a crime with that gun, then you can be found through the paper trail of that gun and then be prosecuted from that point. If you don't have the gun anymore, whoever has the gun, you can be traced back to the gun if it has serial numbers on it or what have you. So if you buy it legally, you can be traced back. If you buy it illegally, there's nothing that can be done. And same with if you ban assault rifles. If you ban assault rifles and semi-automatic weapons, the bad guys do not care if you pass these laws or not. They don't care. They're going to get their guns. There's always a black market for everything, brothers and sisters. When money stops being something that is needed to survive, you're going to have a black market. So that's Dr. Stein's stance. The Green Party stance is nonviolent. The Green Party is not specific in its platform as to gun control, but the Green Party believes in nonviolence, which I also believe in nonviolence, because when you own a firearm and everyone knows you own a firearm, nobody will try to be violent with you. Therefore, you are exercising that principle of nonviolence. But also within that principle, it talks about defending yourself. And this is what a gun is for. Whether it be an assault rifle or a semi or an automatic weapon, it doesn't matter. You should have access to it because, as you know, if you've been listening to this show, as you know, that our government is not for the people, which is why we're in the Green Party and why we're asking to break up the duopoly in the first place. So don't feed it to the propaganda. Get the facts before you speak on a matter. I hope everybody enjoyed the show. Thank you guys for listening in. I know this is probably going to be something that some of you guys aren't going to agree with, but it is what it is, and that's part of life. You know, we disagree, but for the most part, we agree. So thanks again for listening in. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. Until we meet again at the appointed time. Good night, everybody.